Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Lamed Ches, we're on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We're going to be starting at the midpoint of the Amud. Just about. A little bit below that, we're starting V'hasha Damar Chavas Aguf. Okay. So we are on Mitzvah Satulis Baritz. We started this discussion in yesterday's daf. The Mishnah already starts on the very bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. And the Mishnah really clear. And that is a distinction to be made in mitzvahs between mitzvahs that tuluy baris and mitzvahs shein tuluy baris. So mitzvahs that are agricultural and mitzvahs that are not agricultural, right? The agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Non-agricultural mitzvahs apply everywhere, universally. Okay. That's the Mishnah. That's the short of it. Okay, and now let's do a little bit more of the long of it. Okay, so we'll go back to yesterday's daf. So in the Mishnah, we noted that there are two notable differences. Right, Arlan and Klein apply in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that they're agricultural halachas. We'll talk more about Arla later this morning. We'll talk more about Kalayim later this morning. And what about Chadash? Well, in the Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar says Af HaChadash. Rebbe Elazar says even Chadash. Now, even Chadash is going on the rule or on the exception. You'll remember that was a question that we asked yesterday. So, if it's going on the rule, it means that Chadash is only Noah in Eretz Yisrael. If it's going on the exception, it means that Chadash applies universally in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And you'll recall yesterday that we offered both of those Peshatim, and could be that it's a Machlokes Tanaim. The Machlokes Tanaim that we saw yesterday was between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. The Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim, I'm going to reintroduce momentarily. But meanwhile, however, just a couple of loose ends that we need to tie from yesterday, and that's what we're going to do right now. Hashta de Amart. So we are in the Gemara Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and a little bit more than halfway down in the Amud. So, what do we say that when it's a chavas aguf, when it has nothing to do with agriculture and the land, and it has to do with us and you and me, and so therefore it applies both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. So, Moshe de Kasrech Menagabi Shabbos Lamali. So, question number one. By Shabbos it says, Bechol Moshe Osechem. Right? Lo Sevarish Bechol Moshe Osechem. So, beginning of Parshas Vayakel. Good. So, over there, so it's confusing because, at least according to one opinion, when you see the word Moshav, it means everywhere. So, Bechol Moshav Sechem, wherever you live. So, but I don't understand, says the Gemara, meaning Shabbos has nothing to do with the land. Shabbos is Chavas Aguf. So, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that Shabbos is universal. We would know already that Shabbos is universal. So it's the Rechts of the Gemara says, no, necessary. Why Sakadat Chamina? Hovin Yana de Moados Ksive, Tibaye, Kiddush Ki Moados. So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, I would have thought the following. Look, where do I find Shabbos? A number of places in the Torah, right? So it's all over the Torah. But one of the places that Shabbos is located is right by the Moados, right? Open up to Parshas Emor, and what do you find in Parshas Emor? So Shabbos is right next to Moed. So I would have thought that, you know, for Moed, what do I need? I need Kiddush HaChodesh. So if I need Kiddush HaChodesh regarding Moed, so maybe the same thing is true regarding Shabbos. I would need Kiddush, I just want to quote the Gemara precisely. So, Tibaye Kiddush Ki Moadas. I would need to be Mekadesh. Now it's a little bit unclear exactly what the Gemara means over here. In other words, Shabbos, we know. It's right, it's the seventh day and it's clockwork. It's right. But still, in other words, I guess within the suggestion of the Gemara, it's a Havamina. But within the Havamina, I guess Sunday we would say, today's the first day of the week. And we're sanctifying the first day of the week. Admittedly, it's an unusual Havamina. It's a strange Havamina. You know, much like we would do with Rosh Chodesh. With Rosh Chodesh, by the way, it makes a lot more sense because Rosh Chodesh fluctuates. And there is variation, there's variability. Which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh? Regardless, okay, it's a Havamina. Let's not spend too much time with it. Regardless, the point is that that's what I would have thought. So, Kamash Milan. The Moshe Vosechem by Shabbos comes to tell me that it does not require Kiddush, meaning Shabbos comes automatically. Moshe Dekas Rechman Agabe Chel Vadam Lamali. Okay, so we have a pasuk regarding Chel Vadam, the beginning of Vayikra, Paragimel. Chukas Olam Lador Vosechem, Bechol Moshe Vosechem, Kol Chelev, Vechol Dam Loso Chelev. It says that Chelev and Dam you're not allowed to eat, and everywhere you're not allowed to eat Chelev and Dam. Now, Chelev Adam, that's Chavas Aguf, that's not Chavas Akarka, right? Products of the animal that we're not allowed to eat, the blood, the forbidden fats of an animal. And B'chomo Shvaseichem, I would have known it already. It's a Chavas Aguf. Here as well, Itzterech, the Gemara over here presents another Havamina. Saka dat chamina hol vinyan de karban asktive, bezman de ika karban nitzarech el vedam. Bezman de leika karban lo kamash malan. Again, the Havamina would be, look, chel vedam are very carbon associated. Consider that when every time we offer carbon, so what do? We take out the chalev and we put it on the mizbeach. We take out the dam, we sprinkle on the mizbeach. So I would have thought that maybe there is a correlation between chalev adam and mizbeach. When there's a mizbeach, chalev adam is aser. When there's no mizbeach, chalev adam would be mutter. It's a havamina. Okay. So that's the havamina. And the maskana, of course, is no. Moshe Masechem tells me that it's always going to be aser. Moshe, the kazur rechman agabe matzah, umarer. The pasuk in Parshas Bo bechol Moshe Vosechem tochlu matzos. Again, it's a chovas aguf. So lamali. So why do I need it? So it's derech. This one, everyone could guess what the havamin is going to be. Sagadach hamina hol v'ksiva matzos amarim yochluhu bezmandika pesach in bezmandaleka pesach lo kamash malan. So over here, the havamin is so straightforward, so simple, and that is that I would have thought that matzah maror is carbon pesach related. And oh, by the way, it's a strong havamina. Meaning, what are we supposed to do with the matzah and maror? Eat it with the carbon pesach. So therefore, I might have thought, that when there's carbon pesach, there's a mitzvah of matzah maror. And when there's no carbon pesach, there is no mitzvah of matzah maror. So kamash malan. Right? Tosus over here. Tosus a couple places wonders. Meaning, our gemara tells us that, how do I know that matzah is noig bizman hazeh? Because of Moshe Vosechem. That's our gemara over here in Kiddushin daf lamed zayin. Right? The end of yesterday's daf. And meanwhile, the Gemara Pesachim gives us a different source, and so it seems like we have two different sources that tells us that matzah bezman hazeh is noeg, midaraisa, right, it's a din daraisa nowadays. Okay, you see Tosfos over here. We're not going to go through the Tosfos inside. Anyway, one more loose end to tie up. Bia dekaz rechman agabe tefillin petar chamor lamali. Now, Bia, a number of mitzvahs in the Torah are introduced with a form of the verb Bia, when you go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, when there's a mitzvah that is connected to entrance into Eretz Yisrael, so what do we know? It's a mitzvah that is in Eretz Yisrael, knowing in Eretz Yisrael, and only in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Gemara notes, however, that there are two notable exceptions. We talked about this yesterday. The mitzvah of Petra Chamor, the mitzvah of Tefillin. Now, even though Vehayaki V'yacha, that's the parsha at the end of Parsha's Bo, that introduces to these two mitzvahs, and even though it says v'haya ki yiviyacha, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, those mitzvahs obviously apply everywhere. In other words, they're chovas aguf. So the question over here again is really simple: why the word bia? So al mi bai lelechatatan debe Rabbi Yishmael, say mitzvah zu shebishvila tikanas laretz. So over here, the Gemara gives a drusha, like a drush. And that is that in the schus of doing these mitzvos of tefillin and petach hamor, so we're going to have now enough zechuyo so that we can go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, good. Those are the loose ends that we're just tied up from yesterday's daf. Right, the moshav is universal; it means everywhere. So there are a couple, three places in Chumash where it seems to be superfluous. The Gemara says it's not. And the word bia would indicate that the mitzvahs apply only in Eretz Yisrael. And meanwhile, there are two mitzvahs where we have the word bia, and it's not limited to Eretz Yisrael, applies everywhere. Good. So loose ends from yesterday's daf. Okay, now we go back. We go back to yesterday's daf. Right, up until now, we just did loose ends of yesterday's daf. This is no longer loose ends. This is now going back fundamental to what we learned yesterday. What did we learn yesterday? So if you go back to Lamed Zayin and Aleph, and you look at the bottom of the Amud, towards the bottom of the Amud, so we had a braisa. So, Kol Makom Shenem Rabba Moshav, Eino Ela La'achar Yerusha V'Yeshiva Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. According to Shitas Rabbi Yishmael, when you see the word Moshav, it means in Eretz Yisrael and only in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And Moshav is to be understood how, according to Rabbi Yishmael? Settlement of Israel. It took us 14 years. We went into Eretz Yisrael, we conquered, and we divided. 7 years of conquering, 7 years of dividing. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Yishmael, when you see the word Moshav in the Torah, so that means now that only after conquering and settling the land, then and only then it's going to apply, and only in Eretz Yisrael. Now the reason why we brought in Rabbi Yishmael yesterday is because according to Rabbi Yishmael, it comes out now the Chadash is only limited to Eretz Yisrael and not outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. And again, obviously, there are Tanaim who argue with Rabbi Yishmael. Okay. And hold that, that charash applies universally. Okay. That is one word of preview and introduction going back to yesterday's daf. Now, point number two, just to remind ourselves, the Isser of Chadash. I described it yesterday. Let's do it again just quickly. And that is that the grains that grew over the course of this winter are going to be Asr until we bring the Karban Omer. And the Karban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. Until then, all the grains that grew over the course of the year are Asr and only become Mutter when we offer the grain. Now, this Isser of Chadash, so does it apply in Eretz Yisrael or everywhere? It's agricultural. So the argument, obviously, is that it applies only in Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, Tanaim are of the position that it applies universally because the Torah says the word Moshav. But again, that's now going to tie into the machlokas that we also just reintroduced in terms of how to understand the word Moshav. According to Rabbi Shmuel, Moshav means in Eretz Yisrael and only in Eretz Yisrael. And according to a number of other Tanaim, Moshav means everywhere. Okay, so far so good. Okay, so we have to keep the machlokas Rabbi Shimon, the Chachamim in mind, and we also just have to be basically familiar with the Isser of Chadash. With that stated, Bishlam Laman Damer Moshav Kol Makom Shatam Yoshim Mashma. So now, let's go to the Shita. Let's call it Rabbi Akiva Shita. Okay, let's attach a name to the Shita. So we're going to call it Rabbi Akiva Shita. Rabbi Akiva is Keneged Rabbi Yishmael. According to Rabbi Akiva, the Isser of Chadash applies universally. So now, according to his position, so the following works out really good. So, Hainu Dichsi, Vayichlu Me'avor Ha'aretz Me'machros HaPesach. Okay, yeah. So what did they do? So, Vayichlu Me'avor Ha'aretz Me'machros HaPesach. When did they start eating the grains of Eretz Yisrael? Okay, a quick history lesson. So, we crossed the Jordan River. We went into Israel. Okay, history lesson officially over. No. There's a couple more details that we have to add. And that is that, so when did we cross the Yarden? On the 10th day of Nisan. Okay, 40 years in the desert. Okay, where are we in terms of years? So 2448 is when we got the Torah. So we're in 2488. Okay, good. So from Bria Sa'olam. So now, on that year, 2488, on the 10th day of Nisan, so new, we cross the Yarden. Okay. Now that doesn't give us a lot of time, by the way. You know, 5 days later is Pesach. Okay, talk about crunch time. Okay, so, and by the way, if I could just make this even a little bit more challenging, you know that the Jewish people didn't get a bris milah. Okay, that's a lot to do in the course of 5 short days. And it's not 5 short days. It's really 4 short days because the Karban Pesach is brought on the 14th day of Nisan. Oh boy. So every Jew is going to get a bris milah and they're going to offer the Karban Pesach? Yes. In other words, and why am I saying it so confidently? Because that's what the Navi Yeshua describes. The Navi Yeshua describes how we offer the Karban Pesach that year. Okay, so therefore, the facts are on the ground. Okay, where does the dilemma lie? The matzah. What are we doing regarding the matzah of that year? Now, here's the problem. All that grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael that year, so it's Chadash. So where are we getting the matzah from? Let's see all this now together inside. So when did we start eating the grain? So we started eating the grain on the 16th day of Nisan, right? Makes perfect sense. Prior to that, it's Asur. So the Navi in Yoshua describes how we only started eating the grains on day 16. Now, all that makes perfect sense if I hold like Rabbi Akiva. Now, I want to try to be as clear as possible over here because the Gemara over here can be a little bit confusing. According to Rabbi Akiva, the Isser of Chadash is universal. It is not, it is an agricultural halacha, but it's an exception. It applies everywhere. Now, that means that the Chadash Isser would be effective immediately upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because consider, the alternative is Rabbi Yishmael. Now, according to Rabbi Yishmael, Moshav means in Eretz Yisrael, but only after we conquer and after we divide. That's 14 years later. According to Rabbi Yishmael, the Isser of Chadash does not apply for the next 14 years. Okay, so hopefully that was clear. If I hold like Rabbi Yishmael, Isser of Chadash only applies in Israel and only applies 14 years later. More technically, 15 years later, right? Meanwhile, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Isser is not limited to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Moshav has nothing to do with settling Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it is effective immediately. Okay? I just laid out the two positions. Now, with that stated, so the Gemara says, the Navi sounds much better according to Rabbi Akiva. Because what the Navi and Yoshua is telling us is that they go into Eretz Yisrael, and they don't eat the grains, and they only eat the grains after the 16th day of Nisan, meaning Chodesh took place effective immediately. Why? Because it's universal. Ah, perfect. So, lo echo, alma, ekrov, omer, vahadar echo. And now, because they offer the carbon omer on the 16th day, and only then after were they able to eat the grains. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, so now I don't understand. You'd be able to eat the grains immediately when you get into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because again, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Isser only will take effect 15 years later. So there would be no problem with eating the grains of Eretz Yisrael when they go in. They went in on the 10th day of Nisan. So why is the Navi telling us that they only started eating the grains on the 16th day of Nisan? There is, no, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is no Isser to eat the grains. Okay? So the Gemara says, lo habitzrichei. So the Gemara gives a really simple answer, and that is in defense of Rabbi Shmuel. The Navi is not describing a halachic reality, but just a pragmatic issue. It's pragmatic. In other words, they had enough. They had enough to last them until the 16th day of Nisan. And it's not halachic, it's just practical. It's pragmatic. Okay. Now, I did touch on the issue, and the truth of the matter is, this is one topic that I can really speak about for a long time, because I think I have in the past. And that is that, if that's true, if all this is true, meaning, let's go back to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva tells us that's a halachic issue. They're not allowed to eat the grains of Eretz Yisrael. If they're not allowed to eat the grains of Eretz Yisrael, so what did they do regarding the eating of matzah for that first Karm Pesach? So that's Tosus on the top over here. So the Yerushalmi asked the question, well, before we get to the Yerushalmi's question, so it comes out now that they did not have matzah to eat. Meaning, did they have matzah in the Midbar? No, of course they didn't have matzah in the Midbar. You know what they had, by the way? It's called man. It rained down from Shemayim. We'll talk about the man momentarily. But outside of the man, of course, there was no matzah in the desert. They weren't growing grain in the desert. The only grains were in Eretz Yisrael, and according to Rabbi Akiva, those grains became usur the moment we stepped foot into Eretz Yisrael, right? Even before that, right? In other words, it's an issur that has no connection to Eretz Yisrael, according to Rabbi Akiva, and so therefore those grains are usur, and therefore we couldn't eat matzah and with that first Karm Pesach. Okay, now I know that sounds funny, by the way, but that's according to Rabbi Akiva. That's exactly what we're saying. They couldn't eat matzah because all those grains were asr. They're chadash, the Isser of chadash. So the Yerushalmi asked a question, which Tosfos over here quotes on the top of the Amud, and the Yerushalmi says, well, why not? Meaning, why not make matzah out of the chadash? The chadash is asr. Yeah, but the mitzvah of matzah is a mitzvah essay. And the mitzvah's matzah's essay should be docha, the losa essay of chadash. That's the Yerushalmi's question. Tosfos quotes it over here. Tosfos gives two answers. Okay. I'm gonna go on in the Gemara, but just understand that you're right. Lot of room for discussion over here, but we're gonna go on. Okay, so what do we have right now? We have a basic two interpretations of the Navi in Yoshua, where the Navi in Yoshua clearly describes that we didn't start eating the grains of Eretz Yisrael until the 16th day of Nisan. We came in on day 10. We only started eating the grains on day 16. Why? So it depends who you ask. If I ask Rabbi Akiva, the answer is halacha consideration. The grains were usur because of the Isser of Chadash. Because Chadash is universal and is not limited to Eretz Yisrael. And the Moshav means wherever you are. Meanwhile, if I ask Rabbi Yishmael the same question, how come we didn't eat the grains until the 16th? And again, according to Rabbi Yishmael, Chadash only applies in Eretz Yisrael, only after we settle the land, the Isser will not kick in for another 15 years. So why didn't we eat it immediately? So I asked Rabbi Yishmael that same question. His answer is because we had plenty to eat. We still had provisions from the Midbar. And now what the Gemara is going to be doing, almost for the remainder of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, is just support this idea that we had enough. We had enough food. Meaning we're going to support Rabbi Shmuel. Dechsev, so we are on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, and three lines down. So how long did we eat the man? We ate it for 40 years. So describes the Torah. Right? In other words, obviously, in retrospect, but this pasuk is found in Parshas Beshalach when we're first introduced to the man. So, El Kitzei Eretz Kanan. And when do we eat it? Right up until we got to the border of Eretz Yisrael. So, now, if Shalomar Ad Boam El Eretz Noshav Eshekvar Namar El Kitzei Eretz Kanan. If Shalomar El Kitzei Eretz Kanan Sherekvar Namar Ad Boam El Eretz Noshav. Now, as I'm reading the pasuk, it does get a little bit confusing. Meaning, when do we stop eating the man? At the border, over the border? I'm getting mixed messages from the pasuk. So here's the timeline. And that is now we're in year 40. So in year 40, so how does the dating work? So Moshe died on day 7 of Adar. So, and pasuk man meleret. And we know that the man came in Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So when Moshe dies now on day 7 of Adar, so that's it. Man now has stopped coming down. And how long did it last for? So it lasts for another, basically, month and a half. In other words, just look at that last year. Look at year 40. So now, Zayin Adar, so Moshe Rabbeinu died. And now we'll go a month later. That's Zayin Nisan. And we'll go another 10 days later. And that's going to be the 16th day of Nisan. So in other words, we had enough month to... Right. Wait just 1 second. Give me one second. So that's a total of 40 days. So for 40 days, we were able to continue eating the man. Just a pragmatic issue. Hedy, go ahead.
But the man was... each day would be gone.
Yeah. Right, so Hedy... Good. I'm with you. So Hedy asked a question that, generally speaking, the man lasted for 1 day and 1 day only. Right? It was, in other words, you try to keep it for more than a day and it rotted. Okay? So, right? I thought, Hedy, the same question as well. You have to say, I mean, it's clear in the Gemara, but you're going to have to say that when Moshe died and whatever man came down, so that didn't rot. Meaning once the man stopped raining, so raining down, so then it didn't decompose after a day.
You have
to say that. All right, but Hedy, I was thinking the same thing. Tanya Yidach, we learned in a brisa of an Esau Achlus Aman Arbim Shana. Okay, we have another brisa, and it's basically going to support what we just got done saying. Vichy Arbim Shana Achlu, Al Arbim Shana Chasr Shoshim Yam Achlu. Now, what do you mean 40 years we ate the man? Right, this is the Gemara's accounting at its finest. It wasn't 40 years. It was 40 years minus a month. Come on. Let's get with the program. So, well, you know that when we left Egypt, so we left with ugos, cakes. Okay, what cakes probably is not the best description, but whatever, cakes. And you know what the cakes tasted like? They tasted like man. Okay, so because the man came down. Just to clarify the Gemara's point over here. The man did not start raining down immediately upon exiting Egypt. We left Mitzrayim. This we all know, by the way, on the 15th day of Nisan, right? When did the man start coming down? Only a month later, on the 16th day of Iyar, did the man start coming down. Right? That's a pasuk in the Torah. Anyway, right? Vayisu me'ilim v'yavo kol hadas b'nei Yisrael midbar sin v'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hasheni. Let's say some Eretz Mitzrayim. So in other words, it wasn't 40 years, it was 40 years minus a month. So according to this brisa, so how do I make up 40 years? Because even though we didn't actually eat man for 40 years, we ate it for 39 years and 11 months, but for 1 month we were eating something that tasted just like man, which was the ugos of Mitzrayim. I know, by the way, Hedy, I'm going to beat you to this question. I know, by the way, that we have been told many times that the man tasted like whatever we wanted to taste like. And over here, Agamar seems to tell us that it had a very specific taste. Okay, anyway. I don't have an answer. Anyway, Tanya Idach. We have now a third brisa. B'shiva Ba'adar Meis Moshe. U'v'shiva Ba'adar Nolad. Moshe was born and died on day 7 of Adar. Okay, we know this, but in other words, one of the reasons why we know this is because of today's daf. The Gemara in Kiddushin Lamed Ches tells us, the Gemara in Megillah also says the same thing as well. So, Minayin Shebeshiv about Adar Meis. Now, how do I know he died on day 7 of Adar? The date is not recorded in the Torah, so we're going to have to do a little detective work. So, Shenemar v'yamosha Moshe Eved Hashem uksiva yivku b'nei Yisrael Moshe bar v'osmola shoshim yom. So, what we're going to do now is that we're going to reconstruct the calendar. So, we know that we mourn for Moshe Rabbeinu for 30 days. Uksiv v'yachrei Moshe Eved Hashem uksiv Moshe avdi meis v'ata kum avor. So what we're going to do is that we're going to cross the Yarden. Uksiv ivru bekevra machan v'tzavu samleimor hichin olam tzeda ki bo shoshes yamim atem ovrim es Yarden. We know that 3 days preparation before we cross the Yarden. Uksiv am alum in the Yarden be'esor l'chodesh avrishon. And we also know that we cross the Yarden the 10th day of Nisan. So tzei mehen. So now, from the 10th day of Nisan, shloshim u'shlosha yamim l'mafreya. So now go 33 days backwards, meaning the 30 days of mourning, 3 days of preparation to cross the Mon. So now, 10th day of Nisan, we know, in other words, that is marked in the Navi. So 10th day of Nisan, we crossed. Go back 33 days, 7th day of Adar. Okay. And oh, by the way, in other words, this works when we know also whether or not Adar was a Malay or a Chaser. But anyway, okay. So the Halamata Shebeshiva Adar Meis Moshe. Good. So, detective work. In other words, reconstructing the calendar using the information that's given to us. So that is how we establish that Moshe died on day 7 of Adar. And Uminayin Shiva ba'Adar Nolad Moshe. Now, he was born on the 7th day of Adar. Another date that we know, but that's not recorded in the Torah. So once again, detective work in order to get here. So, Shenemar v'yom aleim ben me'av v'esu mashona anocha yom lo'uchal olat seiz v'lavo. Ein tam alomar hayom. Moshe reports that he's 120 today. He's 120 today, right? Feliz cumpleaños. That was for you. So Malamich Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Amalei Shnosem Shel Tzadikim Yom Liyom Mechodesh Chodesh Shenamras Mispar Yamecham Alei. So now that tells us that what happened is that they're correct. In other words, for a tzaddik, so a tzaddik is completion, and so for him, in other words, it was a completion of 120 years. The day that he died also represents the day that he was born. He was born on the 7th of Adar. Dies on the 7th of Adar. Okay, next. Okay. We are on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. We are a little bit more than halfway from the... No, I'm sorry. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Okay. Okay, Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Shosh Mitzvos Nitzav L'Yisrael B'Chnisos Am La'aretz. There are 3 mitzvos that were commanded upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, meaning that they didn't apply in the Midbar, but only upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael. And that is Chadash, and Arla, and Kalayim. And Oagas Bein Baretz Bein Bechutz Aretz. And they apply universally, meaning the Rashbi holds like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, which, I mean, that happens to work out great. Right? The Rashbi was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but the Rashbi holds like Rabbi Akiva. These Yisurim apply effective immediately upon our entrance into Eretz Yisrael and universally. Now, v'hu adin shin hagu, and not only that, but they apply universally, and we can even deduce it logically. Okay. Remember, by the way, I always throw in a cautionary when I say logic in the Torah. In other words, but there is something called Kal v'chomer. And we use it all the time. And here, for example, we're going to be using Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer will inform us, meaning aside from the fact that we know it, we can also argue it as well. That these 3 Isurim of Chadash, Arla, and Kalayim apply in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it applies effective immediately upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael. So how does the Rashbi know this? Ma Chadash, Shein Isur Isur Olam. Look, when it comes to Chadash, it's not a permanent Isur. It's only also up until the second day of Pesach, when we bring the carbon omer. Any sir, yisur, na. We also know that the yisur of chadash is only an yisur achila, non yisur na. And yesh heter li suro. And in addition to that, we also know that there's a heter for the yisur, i.e., you bring the carbon omer, and then it becomes mutter. So, no eg bein baretz bein b'chutz aretz, and chadash applies both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, meaning that is just, that's a tenet, that's a given. I know it's a machlokes tanaim, but right now we're within the sheet of the Rashbi, who holds that it applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we start with Chadash, and Chadash is, for the purposes of this discussion, a lighter Isser. Okay? We don't normally talk like that, but in the context of our Gemara, it is absolutely fair to talk like that. For three reasons, it's a lighter Isser, as we just articulated. So Kalayim, Shi Isser, Misser Olam. Now, Kalayim, so that's an Isser Olam. There's no heter for Kalayim. In other words, once you plant grapes and grains together, so you've created Kalayim, it's Isser. Period. End of sentence. And Isser, Isser Ana. Not only that, by the way, it's not just an Isser Achila, it's an Isser Ana as well. And ain heter li Isserim, there's no way to lift the Isser. So ain din shinagar bein ba'aretz bein b'chotz aretz. So for sure, it should be knowing both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'adin la'arla b'shtayim. Now, as far as Arla is concerned, so Arla, two of these points are true by Arla. What's not true by Arla? It's not an Isser Olam. Why? Because after 3 years, the fruit on that tree is going to be, the fruit's going to be mutter. That's the way Rashi presents the Gemara over here. Tosos really goes to work on this Rashi, has a tremendous issue with this Rashi, but right now I'm going to just present the Gemara nice and simple like Rashi. In other words, when it comes to Arla, the fruit of that tree is going to be mutter after 3 years. Okay, let's just say it's simple. Okay, that is all according to the Rashbi. So again, the Rashbi, holding like Rabbi Akiva, Chadash applies universally in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to say the same thing regarding Arla, and we're going to say the same thing regarding Kalayim as well. Good.
What do you do with the fruit for the first 3 years?
What's it called? It's a fair. You have to discard it, and you cannot get any benefit from it.
You just discard it.
Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon argues. Now, I know this is strange, by the way. Why? Not that he argues. In other words, that's not strange. What's strange is that Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon is the son of the Rashbi, and he's arguing with his father. Okay. And in other words, one of those questions which I get repeatedly and I never have a good answer to is, well, didn't he learn the Torah from his father? And isn't he following the Masorah of his father? And how can he argue? Okay. When I have a wonderful answer to that question, I'm more than happy to present it. Anyway, so Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, I argue. And that is Kol Mitzvah Shenitzav Yisrael. We're on the top of the Amud Beis. Kol Mitzvah Shenitzav Yisrael, Kodim Knesset Sam La'aretz. No, it gets Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz Aretz. La'acher Knesset Sam La'aretz, Eino Noheges Ela Ba'aretz. Meaning, according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, look, if an Isser applies only after entering into Eretz Yisrael, so then it's limited in geography only to Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, that is against the Shita of the Rashbi. So, Chutz, right, yeah, you know, I guess all about it, yeah. Chutz, Meneshmatas Ksafim, Vishiluach Avadim, two notable exceptions, and that is the cancellation of loans and the release of Avadim in Yovel. When we say Avadim over here, we're obviously talking about an Eved Ivri. Good. Shafa, Pishin, Nisav, Olam, Lach, Kinesis, Am Laaretz, no, I guess, Bain Baaretz, Bain Bechutz, Aretz, despite the fact that they only kick in when we go into Eretz Yisrael, but they are universal, applying in and out of Israel. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. It's not a by the way. Meaning Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon is arguing principally on the points of his father. His father says that Chadash applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, meaning that's the sheet of the Rashbi. That's also the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Good. And we also learned yesterday and today that the Rabbi Shmuel argues on this point. Now, together with Rabbi Shmuel, we're also going to put alongside Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says the Chadash only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. Good. And presumably he would also say the same thing regarding Arla and Kalayim as well. Presumably. Okay. Now, Hashmatas Psafim Chavas Agufi. Now, part of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon's point is that if it only applies when we enter into Eretz Yisrael, it's limited to Eretz Yisrael with two notable exceptions. Cancellation of loans, release of an Eved Ivri. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Those are two exceptions. We knew that already. That's the Gemara's point over here. On both of these exceptions, they're not exceptions. Hashmatas Ksafim Chovas Agufi. What are you talking about regarding the cancellation of loans? Cancellation of loans has nothing to do with agriculture. The only time that we're discussing in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, is only agricultural based halachas. Once it's a non-agricultural based halacha, like tefillin, or any mitzvah that has nothing to do with the land, so then of course it applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. And why is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon saying cancellation of loans? Oh, you know that's an exception. Of course it is. It's a chovas aguf. So alone it's Rechal al-Chedetanya, so the Gemara says, I know, but consider the following. Ebraisa, Detanya Rabbi Omer, Vized Dvar Shemitah Shamot. Cancellation of loan and the halachas of Shemitah's karka are tied to one another, linked to one another. So that when there is Shemitah's karka, we're in Eretz Yisrael, right? We have a base of Mikdash. And exactly what the prerequisites are for Shemitah's karka to apply is a little bit more detailed, but in other words, according to Rabbi Huda Nasi, so when Shemitah's karka applies, Shemitah's kesefim apply. When Shemitah's karka no longer applies, so then Shemitah's kesef also no longer applies. The two are linked to one another. V'ema. So now with this linkage, so here's now what we could have easily argued, and that is makum she'atam eshamei karka atam eshamei kesefim, u'makum she'iyatam eshamei karka atam eshamei kesefim. So now that we know that they're linked in terms of time, so maybe they should also be linked in terms of location. Maybe the cancellation of a loan should only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning maybe the linkage informs us not just when they apply, but where they apply. Right? It's a fantastic havamina. So, Tam Alamer, Ki Kara Shemitah LaHashem Mikol Makom. Okay. And that's the point that we need to make. The point is that despite the fact that they're linked in terms of time, they're not linked in terms of place. Okay. And we're going to do this one more time today. Shiluch avadim chovas agufi. Now, what about sending out the Eved Ivri in the oval year? That is also considered a chovas aguf. Meaning, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, that's an exception. That's an exception. Meaning, we know that already. So, once again, sakdat chamin ahol of gziv ukratim dura baretz. Ba'aretz in b'chutz aretz lo tamar lomar yovel hi. So when do we? I'm sorry. B'chutz aretz lo tamar lomar yovel hi. The yovel year is going to be a release for everybody in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Im kema tamar lomar ba'aretz. So why does the pasuk say ba'aretz? So b'zman she'a dror noeg ba'aretz noeg b'chutz aretz and ein dror noeg ba'aretz ein o noeg b'chutz aretz. So once again, what we're saying is the following, is that when Yovel applies, so then there is Yovel works. But when Yovel does not apply, i.e. we're not observing Yovel. Again, what is the criteria? What is the prerequisite for the observance of Yovel? So again, it's Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael with the base of Mikdash. I'm wildly oversimplifying. But the point is that Yovel at one point historically no longer applies. Right? And we happens to be that we've been living that for millennia. So Yovel no longer applies. Since Yovel no longer applies, so in Eretz Yisrael, therefore its effects no longer apply in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's what it means. Meaning Yovel is just simply a trigger. But where the application of Yovel applies for the release of an Eved Ivri, that's in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, good. We're gonna pause right over here. I know it's early, but we're gonna pause over here. More on Chadash coming up tomorrow. Let's quickly recap and review. Okay, the Isser of Chadash applies in Eretz Yisrael or in and outside of Eretz Yisrael to Machlokas Tanaim. We were introduced to the Machlokas Tanaim yesterday, and for most of today's daf, we continued this discussion debate whether Chadash applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, meaning for sure in, but also outside as well. That's a Machlokas HaTanaim. Yesterday we were introduced to the Machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and today we continued the discussion debate of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. A lot of today's daf, Alam Ches Amid Aleph, revolved around the timeline of when we went into Eretz Yisrael. The Navi Yoshua describes, you know, we started eating grains when? 16th day of Nisan. Why? Why 16th day of Nisan? Meaning, according to Rabbi Shmuel, so the Isser Chadash applies only in Eretz Yisrael and only after settling Eretz Yisrael 15 years later. So why is the Navi describing? You know, we didn't eat until the 16th day of Nisan. So that's a strong question against Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Akiva, I know why. because the Isser takes effect immediately. Why? Because it is not tied to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, when we go into Eretz Yisrael, it kicks in, but it's not tied to Eretz Yisrael, applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. And now the Isser Chadosh takes effect immediately, and since it takes effect immediately, so obviously we couldn't eat the grains, because they're Usser. That's according to Rabbi Kiva. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, what's the problem? So there is no problem. This is the Gemara's answer that took up most of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. There's no problem. It was a practical issue. It was pragmatic, meaning we had man. We had man in the that came in from the Midbar, and since the death of Moshe, which took place 40 days earlier, so from the 7th until the 16th, so we enjoyed the man for 40 days. Okay, good. That took up most of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. And then on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, we were reintroduced to the machlokus of whether Chadosh applies both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, or only in Eretz Yisrael, a machlokus between the Rashbi and his son, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Rashbi says it applies both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, and his son says no, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, and we discuss that a little bit more as well today.